Hey, and welcome to this week's episode of Extra Serving. I'm your host, Holly Petrie, here with another interview for you. Earlier this week, our editor, Joanna Fantozzi, interviewed the co-founders of Artichoke Basile Pizza. The New York-based chain isn't any normal pizza place. It's an all-night experience, closing in the early hours of the next day. It was inspired by the bridge and tunnel crowds looking for something to eat after a night out. Find out what's in store for the brand in 2020 and some inside information from the founders themselves. But first, who are the most influential people in food service? Find out in 2 weeks when Nation's Restaurant News reveals its annual power list. This year's list features 50 leaders in technology and innovation. These men and women show that real power comes not from adapting to change, but from creating it on your own terms. Selected by the editors of Nation's Restaurant News, the power list is made up of people bringing game-changing technologies and unrivaled creativity to the biggest issues facing restaurants today: delivery, digital ordering, customer experience, and sustainable sourcing. They are executives leading billion-dollar digital businesses. They are food scientists changing the way we eat. They are chefs pioneering the use of CBD and cannabis in the kitchen. And they are entrepreneurs redefining what it means to be a restaurant. This year also marks the return of the top 10 ranking. Check back in 2 weeks for the full list, including our pick for the number one most powerful person in the restaurant industry on January 21st on NRN.com. Now, here's Joanna.
Okay, good morning. I am here with Francis Garcia and Sal Basile, fourth generation pizzaiolos and co-founders of Artichoke Basile, known for its signature creamy artichoke slice. How are you guys? Thank you for chatting with us today.
Doing great. How you doing?
Great. So just to get started, people outside of New York might not be familiar with your brand. Could you give us kind of a brief rundown of the origin story of Artichoke Basile Pizza?
Sure. So me and Sal, we started Artichoke back in 2008, March of 08, we opened. We started building it in 07. The first location was on 14th Street on the east side. We were written up in New York Magazine after being open for 3 weeks, and we had lines down the block, and it was just craziness. And today there are 12 in New York City, and that's how many years gone by, Sal? 11?
11 years, well, yeah.
Actually 12 years now. Yes, 3 years. So Artichoke Pizza stays open all night. It's a pizza business that sells pizza by the slice and whole pies. We cater to nightlife in New York City, and we stay open until 6 in the morning every night. We sell pizza from 11 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Yeah, I was going to say it before that. We started out fourth generation, as you said, in the restaurant, working together for our families, just getting more knowledge from them.
Yeah, me and Sal grew up behind the counter. We used to do our homework in the restaurant, and our moms and dads, grandparents, and great-grandparents were in the business in downtown Brooklyn. Our grandfather came in from Italy. He was a longshoreman, and my grandmother used to make potato and egg sandwiches, and he would bring them to work and sell them at lunchtime. And they said, wow, there's money in the restaurant business, and that's how they got into it. My great-grandfather was a baker. He had a pastry shop in downtown Brooklyn.
Yeah, absolutely. So you could say that, making Italian food, making pizza is in your blood for sure.
Yeah, we always write. We have pizza sauce running through our veins.
No doubt.
So obviously the pizza segment is pretty crowded, as you know, especially in New York. So how and why do you think that Artichoke stands out?
When we opened in 2008, we opened up as an upscale pizza by the slice shop. Mm-hmm. We did it our own way. We took all the stuff that we hated doing out of the equation, like pastas and heroes and things like that. We just wanted to do, and it was pizza. And we just tried to make it the best. We put a lot of heart and soul into the product, and we just tried to make every single pie come out, like it was made for our mom. It was beautiful. And that was it. It's just a lot of hard work and really, really passionate about, pizza and what we do.
Attention to detail.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. And something that you mentioned is really interesting, that I think is a really interesting part of the brand, is the kind of nightlife-focused clientele. So what went into your decision to kind of do a nightlife-focused pizza shop?
So growing up in Staten Island, born in Brooklyn, raised in Staten Island, we were with people who live in Manhattan, referred to as Bridge and Tunnel, right? We would come into the city on the weekends and we would party all the time like everybody else. And, I thought that New York City, or Manhattan rather, needed better pizza by the slice. And, we would drive in from the outer boroughs, and we would party, and we would go out and eat late, and there was really nothing open but like Wohop and some crummy pizza places. So we just figured that there's a big market for it. There's lines down the block for junk food. And we just figured, why don't we try to cater to some nightlife? And that's what we did. We stayed open all night, and eventually it just developed. Played the music loud,
Slept in the car.
So could you tell us a little bit about your signature pizza for people that aren't as familiar? The artichoke slice, as in your name, is your signature slice, and reminds me a little bit of a creamy artichoke dip. Kind of, how did you come up with that, and what goes into making that pizza?
So I started making that pie at my mom's restaurant that was in Staten Island in probably like 2006, and it was a hit. And in Staten Island, you don't have the traffic like you have in Manhattan, of course. And what we would do is we would give it to, if a table came in, a table of four, with their basket of bread, we would take a small piece, cut it into four little pieces so that people can sample it. And they would eat it, and they would order it on the spot. They'd come back the next day and pick up the pie, and they were raving about it. So, we thought that if we went to Manhattan, we could give it to more people in a week than we can in Staten Island in probably 6 months. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. When we opened up, we stood outside, and we just handed it out. It just exploded. The pizza, without telling you all the ingredients, it is a cream-based sauce. It's very rich and decadent. There's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot of butter and, wine and rich ingredients. And it's not something that's just thrown together, like you said, like a dip. It's not like a sour cream and onion dip that comes out of a bag. I mean, there's a lot of love and time that goes into it. Vegetables that are pureed, and things like that. So, it takes a lot of time to make. It's very expensive to make. We give a huge caution. We charge $6 for a slice, but the slice weighs more than a pound. It's gigantic.
Wow.
Two people. A lot of people cut it in half, and we stick to our recipe. We don't change. Some people say, why don't you make it a little smaller? We don't want to do that. We want it to be bigger than your head. When you look at it, it's going to scare you. You're going to take a picture and put it on social media, and that's it.
Absolutely. That's
what the artichoke slice. If you drank a bottle of Jameson and you stumble and you eat an artichoke slice, you'd be good. It's fine. Straighten your head out.
You'll be good the next, then you'll feel good the next morning.
You'll feel great the next morning.
You'll eat up the rest of the slice the next morning.
That's right.
If that's very true. So kind of heading into the business side of things away from the food for a moment. I know that you guys launched franchising recently. So what are your goals for the brand, and why do you think it's a good fit for national expansion or more expansion?
It seems like a faster way to do it. There's only so many hours in the day. We've learned that we need good partners to grow, and we figured we would try the franchising route. So far, we've been lucky. We've partnered with some great partners, and so far, so good. We're taking it slow. We're trying to, grow smart geographically, too. We did New Jersey. We did Connecticut. The California deal we did was with a guy that was with the company for 10 years, so it was, it was easy to do that one. But we're trying to just grow in markets that, we can get to and support our partners.
Where do you see you guys going in the next, let's say, 5 years, 10 years?
Oh boy, I don't know. We'll see what happens. We're just gonna keep going every day. We're just trying to keep growing, and wake up early in the morning and go make the dough. Hopefully we'll be 10 times the size we are now, not physically, but.
The territories that we sold, we want to get them open, obviously, and be successful in those in the short term.
Right.
Absolutely. And so how does the expansion process work for you guys? How do you determine what new markets make sense? How do you pick a franchisee? That sort of thing.
Again, you know, we want to make sure that we're able to support our franchisees and we can get there, you know, by car or by train. So those are the markets that we're focusing on. And, you know, we look for markets that are similar to, you know, the markets that we currently operate in, places with, you know, with a lot of young people, disposable income, nightlife, you know, things like that happen in places. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. If we don't get the gut feeling, you know, we usually pass.
Hmm. So. And where are you guys going next?
Where are we going next? We have a company-owned unit opening up in Times Square. It's actually right outside of Times Square, 39th and Broadway. You know, we have a couple more irons in the fire in New York. But, you know, I don't know. Hopefully we'll be going across the globe.
You read my mind. I was just going to say, do you see international brand? Do you see that Artichoke could work overseas as an international brand?
I do. You know, I mean, we've been contacted numerous times over the years from people, you know, everywhere from the UAE to, you know, to the UK and you know, Europe,
anything's possible with the right partner.
Anything's possible, right?
Absolutely. And although you seem very, you know, ambitious and positive, looking toward the future, what are some of the biggest challenges you foresee moving forward, either for the brand or for the pizza industry in general?
Oof, boy. You know, I think that, you know, that there's always going to be challenges. One day it's going to be occupancy costs. One day it's going to be labor costs. You know, it's always something. I think that we just have to, you know, we have to adapt and we have to be innovative and just keep trying to, you know, to grow. You know, I mean, of course, there's challenges in labor today, and there's, you know, in a place like New York, of course, there's challenges in the occupancy costs. But you know, it's all stuff that we, you know, we just keep going and we keep adapting and we keep changing and we, you know, we change with the times. So if you have to raise prices or you have to cut back, you know, on certain things that, you know, that aren't necessary, whatever you have to do to make it make sense and be profitable and keep growing.
Yes, and speaking of that, how have you guys adapted to rising labor costs and shortages and labor shortages that have kind of plagued the industry as a whole?
You know, you have to try and like I said, you have to innovate. You know, get certain things done off-site. You know, and try and keep the integrity of the product the best you can. You know, we work hand in hand with Kraft, the cheese supplier. You know, we were lucky enough to have them start cutting our cheese, took a lot of labor out in stores. And, you know, we just keep constantly trying to, you know, to make things easier inside the restaurant. New technology, you know, and you know, new equipment, things like pizza presses. And, you know, I mean, we would have never thought we would have pizza presses in our restaurant. Guess what? We have one in every one of them now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they work. They save a lot of labor. You know, just things like that.
Absolutely. And what are you guys most looking forward to in the future for the brand?
Oh, boy. Retirement? I'm kidding. Never. You know, I don't know. Hopefully, you know, one day I'm lucky enough to have a family, and Sal's got some kids, and hopefully one day, you know, they're on the phone with your kids talking about, you know, expanding Artichoke into maybe Mars by then, or the moon, Saturn. That would be really cool. Or retirement, one or the other.
Okay, great. Well, then, thank you so much, guys. I think that's all the questions I have. Thank you for appearing on Extra Serving Podcast, the Nation's Restaurant News. I appreciate it.
It's our pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. We'll see you next Friday with a brand new one.